Hey everybody, this is Justin Case. Welcome back to Case in Point. This is episode 67. And today I'm just going to do a quick episode. I know it's been a little while since I've done one. And I'm going to be with my two special guests, my son Will and my daughter Olivia. And we're just going to spend a few minutes talking about some of their favorite gifts they got for Christmas. And I know that a lot of people probably don't, well, at least that I heard of, actually do a podcast like this, especially with their kids. But it's been a little hard to get people scheduled to be on the show with the holidays and everything. So I figured maybe I would just do one of these. And before I do that, I just want to give a shout out to my podcast brethren, the McSauce Podcast with Ian, Paul, and Matt. That's a great show. They're very cranking out a lot of content these days. They got a Patreon set of episodes they do. I'm a Patreon member, so check those guys out. They do a lot of hard work, and you know, when they're able to actually do conventions and things of that nature, they usually have a table set up. So go in the Pennsylvania area, so Pittsburgh, and I know that they do a few locations around that area. I'm not sure exact the full radius of their travels, but yeah, definitely check them out. Check them out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, the usual social media jaunts. Brian McCormick for the Fireside Chat podcast. He's been cranking out a lot of episodes. Definitely check him out. He's a good friend of the show, good friend of mine, and definitely has a lot of interesting topics and things to say. So definitely check him out. And he's also on Twitter and Facebook. That being said, if I remember any podcasts, I'm a little rusty on this. Towards the end of the show, I'll mention them as well. Hope this finds you well. That's a great show. Check them out. And I am very behind on listening to anybody's shows. So, but definitely check out Chuck Lynch. With his buddy there. I'm sorry, I don't remember your name because I am terrible at names right now. But anyway, without further ado, I'm welcoming my son and daughter onto the show. Say hi, guys.
Hi.
And Will, knock it off. You're doing that face. Anyway, I'm going to start with my daughter, Olivia. What was your favorite thing you got for Christmas?
The butterfly, the little live pet butterflies.
Oh, yeah, is it little live pets?
Yes.
See, I don't even know what half the stuff is because they find the stuff on YouTube or watching YouTube videos and they find these things. I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I'll see what I can do. And my wife's usually the one that hunts this stuff down anyway. So yeah, those are interesting. And if you got little kids, anybody out there listening, they might have the same thing. It's like battery powered, like butterflies. They actually flop their wings and all that stuff. They got different types of things. What are some of the other ones that you've got?
So I also got these unicorn Cabbage Patch Kids. The Cabbage Patch Kids were just the best unicorns.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. And were those your favorite items that you got for Christmas?
Yeah.
Well, what'd you get?
So I got some like He-Man toys for the new line, the Origins stuff. Then you got the new cartoon that came out, the one that you can find on Netflix, not Revelations, the other one. And I got a couple of those toys. That was, like, some of the my favorite stuff that I got for Christmas. I also got, like, Funko Pop. It was a D-Zero. I just put it up on my wall of Funko Pops.
A wall of Funko Pops, everybody. And D-Zero was that little droid rolling around. I think it was a friend of
Ray.
Ray, yeah. It's funny about that Star Wars trilogy, the 7, 8, 9. I'm already starting to bleed that out of my mind over time. So you have to remember some of the names. But I think it's great what they did with the Origins figures. They're, you know, obviously from a design standpoint, they are superior over the old ones because they don't have the rubber O-rings that rot and the legs fall off. Plus, they're fully articulated. You can swap the limbs. You can swap the heads, the arms, the legs, even the torsos. And if you get some of the deluxe figures, they have a lot of accessories with them, like Ninjor. Doesn't come with a cloth cape, but he still has a lot of really cool accessories, and he's a really nice figure. I think he was from the 87 wave. He's one of the last figures to come out in the original Masters Universe line, the vintage line. Yeah, it's funny because we went to in November, we went to a toy show, and it was the Spokane Inland Toy Show Classic, and there was a Scareglow on the table, and my son's like, oh man, a Scareglow's only $25, you know, and it was like, I had actually had it stashed for Christmas for him. I was like, all right, you're really, really want to get this really bad, don't you? Yeah, I go, all right, that's fine, and, I ended up just giving him the one I had at home. I was like, okay, $25. He bought a gift I got for him off of me. And, of course, he got the money back eventually when he earned it. So, but it's kind of funny because he'll give me the same bills. He spends his money so fast that I actually can just keep reusing the same bills to pay him for the subsequent week's allowance for doing chores. It's like the Dusty Rhodes kind of method. Save a dollar, spend two. So that's kind of the way, that's William's way of doing things these days, burning a hole in his pocket. Hey, guess what, Dad? I got $25. I know what I'm gonna save up for. Yeah, that doesn't get saved. It gets blown right off the bat. So unlike his sister who actually saves her money and he gets bigger gifts. Gifts, not really, she buys them herself, but What do you feel? Do you feel that saving money is a good idea?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, she's smart. William is like me, typical guy. I know what I'm going to buy. Just burns right through your pocket. So, yeah, you're very proud of that, aren't you? No. Not very good economics, but eventually you'll learn, and when interest comes in. So, guys, what are you looking forward as far as toys? What is your next? What do you guys have your eye on? Olivia, you go first.
A fur baby play set.
Gotcha.
And it comes with all the pods and all the fur babies.
Oh wow, that's cool. Okay, what about you, Will?
So my sister bought this Furby. You know, the vintage Furbies from like 1999, and I guess I bought one, and it's like a black and white one.
Oh yeah, that's still in the mail. We're waiting on that because we had some bad weather, so it's a little bit late, but it's actually several days late. But he got one of the original ones from. I love being the fact that it's called vintage, and it's, you know, I remember it like yesterday, but when those things first came out. But a past guest on the show was our good friend Jody Yeard, and him and I actually did something funny. This was in December of 98. I used to go over to his house every once in a while, and it was just me and him, and he got his sister's Furby, put it up on top of the mantle, up on the mantle of the fireplace, and he yelled at it as loud as he could to see what the thing would do. He's like, ah, ah, and that's all, he goes, ah, like that. He would yell into it. I was laughing so hard. He put all he could into it. It was so, he did it like 8 or 9 times too. Ah, and it was very similar to when he got chased by a hairless dog up Lakeview Drive. My friend Jody, and he got chased by a hairless dog. It sounded very similar. Oh, oh, and yeah, it was quite hilarious. The dog looked like a turd on legs. So, are you guys looking forward to the next toy show in May?
What are you looking for when you go to the next toy show?
I was thinking maybe there would be like fur babies because they're old, so they might be there.
Oh, yeah, probably. I would say so. What about you, Will? What are you looking for? What you got your eye on?
Probably vintage He-Man toys, because one time I found this really good deal on this Cobra Con, complete with a mini comic. I didn't buy it because I didn't want to blow my money on all in one thing there this past one November. And, of course, I blew it all on that Scareglow, because it's really expensive online.
Yeah, much like the vintage one, yeah. Right now, prices on toys are just totally inflated. It's ridiculous. And to put things in perspective, about 5 years ago, I could go on eBay. Like, for example, I got a Rattler. I think I got the staff that comes with him. There's two different versions of that the... He-Man fanboys really rave about. There's one where the neck is a different color. So one, I think one's a solid red, and the other one's got a yellow that matches the chest. And I'm staring at the one I have in a display case, but I don't remember which one it is, and I'm not going to get it out because all of my figures up on top, it's just a pain in the butt. I don't want them to fall over. So right, okay. They see my son even knows, and I have no idea. You know, and in my opinion, that figure was cool because it had like three different features. It rattled, the neck went up on it, and it had the rubber tail. So, like Whiplash did. So, to me, it's like loaded with features compared to maybe like a a Mechanic or a Zodak. Even though I do love Zodak, what about He-Man?
It doesn't have any features except for the spring-loaded...
The twisting.
Yeah, but they all had that except for ones that it wasn't possible like Ram-Man. But anyway, probably what I'd be looking for... I have very expensive taste, and if you guys follow my Case in Point Instagram page, I'm starting to put more pictures of figures up there, and I did put up some Spiral Zone figures, and those are pretty nice. So I guess my point is that my tastes are very expensive right now, especially because of the low availability of Spiral Zone figures. And it's funny when you go up to some of these toy shows, because they even marked up Star Trek figures, like the Playmates ones on card. You could usually get those for like $3 to $5 a piece, $8 at the most, and usually you cut a deal if you bought a bunch. But they're trying to charge $10 a piece for these things. They are not worth $10 a piece. So even the toys that are really not that highly sought after, they're still artificially hiking up the price on these things. It's a copycat game. And so that was a little disappointing, because the last time I went up to the toy show last May, I got like, I don't know, I think I got mine for $3 a piece. I mean, it was a steal. And so it's just everything within the last month or last few months between May and November was ridiculous. So I'm waiting for this toy bubble to pop. I'm waiting for this zit to pop and things go back down to normal price, because it won't stay inflated forever, that's for sure. So I think that those of us out there that like to go to a toy show and actually get some deals, hang in there, because I'm sure it's coming. Because I can tell you right now, when I go to Target and I see empty shelves and all there are Masters figures, that tells me that this wave's going to come crashing down here soon. Even the vintage figures, I mean, it's like there's only so many of us that want them, and the young kids aren't interested, from what I could tell, aside from kids like my son who know a good toy when they see it. We'll see what happens. I think it's going to get a lot easier. That's kind of where we are. I think we're going to call it good right there. I think we got a good run. So, guys, definitely stay tuned. We'll have some more episodes coming out. I'll be able to schedule some time with Ponch and Kyle and get some other folks on here, get some other fellow podcasters on here, and I've just been really, really busy, so I got some music projects going on, and I'm also working on the kit build, so I've got a lot of irons in the fire right now. So please stay patient with the show, and we'll have some good stuff coming out, and we really appreciate you listening to us. And guys, anything else you want to say?
Bye.
I've got one more thing to add to what he was saying. So with the line where it's kind of like failing, it kind of is like related to the vintage line, where after a couple of years, things started to like everyone got what they wanted and kids lost interest. So then they were stocked on the shelves, and when everything else was like with holiday sales, nothing was there except for like He-Man toys, because no one really cared anymore.
That's kind of what I was saying, is you wait for them to go on clearance, especially the Revelations figures. The cartoon did not do very well. I myself did not really, I'm telling you what, I gave the first half of the cartoon, just in closing, I gave the first half of the cartoon a chance, and it was marginal for me for what they did with the characters. They killed off characters right off the bat. That infuriates me, and I think a lot of fans that, and some of these characters like Clamp Champ, who have never been on any of the cartoons before, finally get on screen time, and they kill them off. And I did not like the second half of the Revelations cartoon. The story was terrible. It was trash. I love the art. I love the music. I love the voice talents. But the story was terrible. And quite frankly, if they're going to do anything new with Masters of the Universe again, you either find a better writer or writers. Do something the fans actually like. And that's a lot of reason for the toys sitting on the shelves, because everybody hates the cartoon. Okay? And I'm just going to go out there and say it. I'm a huge Masters fan, okay? I grew up with it. It was a childhood thing. I have copious amount of Masters figures on card and loose, okay? I'm one of the biggest fans out there. I got all the Dark Horse books. You know, I have the various box sets. And it's, you know, I have the vintage figures and my Detolfs, as they call them now. Just a few years ago, I called them display cases from IKEA. Now they're called Detolfs. So, it's very funny that now people are calling them that. But anyway, maybe that's just me. But yeah, terrible series. I didn't like it. And for crying out loud, I mean, I'm sure people listening to this podcast have seen it already. They blew up Preternia. It's gone. You know, that's terrible. It's gone. And I just, very, very poor writing. It's just terrible decisions. And this is what happens when you get people involved in a property that really don't care about it. I'll just say it right now. And I'm not a fan. So, anyway, and I'm usually pretty open-minded about this stuff. But I love the 2002 series, the vintage series. You know, I just was really disappointed. So, but I love the toys. The toys are great. So go out and buy the toys. Because if you don't go out and buy the toys, Mattel's not going to do anymore. They're going to lose the license after next year anyway. So you should live it up while you can, because it's, in my opinion, probably not going to see these ever again. Any more Masters toys made by Mattel, unless they work some kind of deal out. So, but anyway, and if there's no properties that are successful or new cartoons in a stupid movie that never came out, you know, it just kind of faded away. I'm tired of waiting. I'm moving on. So, literally moving on. And that sour note in my poor rant, guys, this is going to do it. And, well, he wants to say goodbye.
See ya.
That's going to be it, and catch you next time.